Good evening, everyone. It's time to take charge of your life. Hello, this is marriage and family therapist Eleanor Barbaro, your host, inviting you to take charge of your life on WDIY. The theme of this program is that so many events in life happen to us over which we have no control. Our only control is our response to life's situations. It is often said that 90% of life's events happen to us, and 10% is what we make happen. Tonight we talk about how we are all concerned about eating healthy. Many of us try to look at the ingredients on the labels of foods that we purchase, but sometimes the print is so small it's impossible to figure it out. Tonight we talk about what is in our food, whether we can read the label or not, how does it affect us, our health, and mental and physical well-being. My guest this evening is Dr. Merrilee Kuhn, who has doctorate degrees in physiology, naturopathic medicine, and holistic medicine. She has taught graduate programs in pharmacology and complementary medicine and has been affiliated with SUNY in Buffalo for about 4 years. It is a pleasure to welcome Dr. Merrilee Kuhn to WDIY to help us take charge of our lives and understand what is in our food and what we can do about it. Welcome, Dr. Merrilee Kuhn.
Thank you for having me.
Tell me, Dr. Kuhn, how did you become involved in naturopathic medicine, homeopathic medicine? How did you become involved?
Well, I am a nurse, and I taught critical care nursing for many years and saw a lot of people in those beds that were very sick, and I just figured there had to be a better way. So got into complementary medicine, have written numerous books on complementary medicine, and here I am. I teach courses around the country now.
And as a matter of fact, Dr. Merrilee Kuhn will be coming to Bethlehem May 28th. So if you're interested in this topic, when we're done, she'll give you some further information. Tell me, what are the three issues that we have at birth that have to do with our nutrition?
Well, at birth, it's rather interesting. We're designed to come through the birth canal. Mother prepares the birth canal with some bacteria, and the only way that the baby can pick that up is by wiggling its way through the birth canal for several hours. So that's one of the reasons. We've got we have a sterile gut. And that's important because, again, mother does not want to have bacteria floating around in her uterus. So we've got a sterile gut. Mother prepares that vagina for us to come through, pick up the bacteria. And then there's an immature neuron layer and an immature immune system. 80% of our immune system hangs out in our gut. So the gut has to be colonized, and we further colonize it by drinking breast milk. So if we don't come through the birth canal, if we don't get fed breast milk, then we are in trouble because we pick up bacteria from mom's skin, dad's skin, but it's not the same bacteria that we should have in our gut.
So what are three issues that we have?
The three issues are we have a sterile gut that's got to be colonized. The second one is we have an incomplete immune system at that point. 80% of our immune system hangs out in our gut. It develops over time. And the third item is that we have an incomplete or immature neural system in our gut as well.
Now, how does the diet of a pregnant woman affect the infant and that delivery? Or does it?
Mom's diet is extremely important because we need to develop. And if she is missing vitamins and minerals and all that kind of thing, then we know that mother will have a child that has more allergy, has learning problems. And we know for sure that if mom's diet is poor, we have more of a lower IQ by the time the child is 8.
What is a genetically modified food? We've been hearing a great deal about genetically modified foods. What exactly is that?
Well, a genetically modified food is a food that has been changed. DNA from one plant has been put into the DNA of another plant, and more recently, since the 80s and 90s, we are putting pesticides and growth hormones in the seed. So our gut was never really designed to digest growth hormones and pesticides, and that's what's in the plant today.
Now, are we necessarily aware that they have been, that there is GMO? Is there something we can note that helps us to determine whether a food has GMO?
Well, I would love to say yes, but there is no law in the United States that says they have to label genetically engineered food. And 80% of the food we eat today is genetically engineered. As a matter of fact, the federal government actually subsidizes the companies that genetically engineer our food.
So we don't really have a way of knowing. How about when we purchase very expensive, marked organic foods? Are we certain there that they're not genetically modified?
Well, if the label says 100% organic, it has nothing in it that's genetically modified. If the label just says organic, it could have some genetic engineered parts and even some synthetic ingredients.
So we really don't know what we're getting unless it says 100% organic.
Right. It really is scary out there.
So, I'm not sure I'm getting to that I'm enjoying knowing what is out there. I felt better before we started our conversation.
I know. Most people that attend my class, they just sort of walk out shaking their head and saying, what am I going to eat?
Well, talking about this, a very popular food that has just announced that it is changing the way it produces its product and taking out their yellow dye. And that product is something my children grew up on, which was Kraft macaroni and cheese.
That is correct. Kraft macaroni and cheese has gotten a lot of letters. And they have used yellow dye number 4. Which all of the dyes, as a matter of fact, dyes, colors, preservatives, all come from petroleum. And most of the petroleum comes from China. So petroleum is not, again, something that our guts are designed to digest. And that has caused much difficulty in a whole bunch of people today. So Kraft has decided to agree to take out the yellow dye number 4 and instead put in curcumin, which is a nice spice for color.
Now, curcumin is supposed to be very healthy.
Yes, it is.
And that not only has the color, but my understanding is it helps with inflammation in the system. Is that accurate?
That is correct. Now, the question is, are they going to put enough in that it will act as an anti-inflammatory? Are they going to process it too much so that it has no medicinal value? So there's a lot of ifs here. But right now we know they're just going to put it in for the color.
So, but they are taking a positive action, and
yes.
I think they ought to be complimented.
Mm-hmm.
Some people were not anxious in complimenting them. They were more interested in throwing baseball bats at them when they heard. But so long as the product remains the same and is as tasty but more beneficial and more healthy, I think we should be very grateful to Kraft for making that effort.
Absolutely.
Now, what other dyes and preservatives should we be aware of?
Basically, any color, if it's got red number 40, blue number 2, any color with a number, all of those come from petroleum.
Now, if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Take Charge of Your Life. This is your host, Elena Barbaro. And this evening, I'm talking with my outstanding guest, Dr. Merrily Kuhn, who has doctorate degrees in physiology, naturopathic medicine, and holistic medicine, and came into this as a result of being a registered nurse and seeing what difficulties patients were having. And you felt that there were better ways. Is that it, Dr. Kuhn?
Absolutely. And, the bottom line, it's depends on certainly what you eat, the amount of sleep you get, the amount of exercise you have, the amount of weight you're carrying. So, there's a lot of things that you need to be healthy. But certainly we eat food. We eat approximately 25 tons of food in the course of our lifetime.
Well, that's a lot of food. Now I know why I can't lose weight. Now, one of the things that we're very much interested in is there are a couple of things. Sugar sugar has played a big role, and there's been much talk in nutritional views on that white sugar is not good for the system. What about sweetness? We all want sweetness in our lives.
That is true. We all love sweet. As a matter of fact, the companies that make food use what we call the bliss point, the perfect amount of sugar and salt and fat. And that's basically what we buy. We buy flavor. When we shop, we're not all that interested in nutrition. Usually we shop because it tasted good last time and we're going to buy it again.
Well, what sugars are safe to eat?
Well, when we talk about sugars, basically you want to stay away from high fructose corn syrup. High fructose corn syrup is really, really, really awful. It's metabolized like alcohol, stored as fat, and it causes inflammation in the body. So stay away from high fructose corn syrup and stay away from all of those Splenda, Equal, all of those little packages, the pink, the blue, the yellow. Basically, all of those are made out of chemicals. And again, our gut bacteria just can't figure out what to do with a lot of chemicals. So what do you use instead? Organic cane sugar, stevia, or any form of stevia is okay, raw honey, and maple syrup. All of those are fine.
Now, you mentioned, you made a distinction, you mentioned raw honey. What's the difference between raw honey and, let's say, honey that we see on the shelves?
Basically, it's the same.
So honey is a safe product.
Honey is safe, but make sure you buy local. We are beginning to import honey from different countries, and the idea is that you really always want to buy local honey. You want to know your beekeeper. So there's farmers markets all over the place, particularly during the nice weather. So go buy your honey from one of your local farmer market people.
So what you're saying is buy local so you know where it's coming from. But what about sometimes we see in the supermarket, we see raw honey, organic honey. Are those safe to buy?
They probably are, but again, you don't know where they came from. They don't have to put on the label where they were produced. So it's always best if you buy it locally at your farmer's market.
Well, that's something very important to know. Now, we're going to talk more about what's in our food when we return to Take Charge of Your Life on WDIY.
Do you have a car that you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and you receive a tax deduction. Turn your vehicle into the programs you love on WDIY. To learn more, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7.
Welcome back to Take Charge of Your Life. Hello, this is Eleanor Bobrow, your host. And this evening we're talking with Dr. Marilee Kuhn, who has a doctorate degree in physiology, naturopathic medicine, and holistic medicine. She has taught graduate programs in pharmacology and complementary medicine and was affiliated with SUNY in Buffalo. And we're talking about what's in our food, but what about in our storage and how we prepare our own food when we've got it home? Is there something about the way we store food? I know most of us, when we have leftovers, we use the plastic containers, or if we're cooking something in the microwave, some people put on plastic wrap. What is, if anything, is something to be concerned about there?
Well, first of all, you have to know what kind of a container you're using. If you turn a plastic container over, it's got a triangle on the bottom with a number. You want to stay away from three. Three is PVC. Basically, that's all your cling wraps, your plastic wrap. This is a carcinogen when it gets on the food. A number six is styrofoam. We all know styrofoam, what it looks like, the white stuff. But keep in mind there is clear styrofoam as well, and many of the grocery stores use it in the deli bar, the olive bar. Okay, so you don't want to do three or six. And then number seven is bisphenol A. It's been around for 50 years. It lines cans. When you open up a can, that's the silver or the copper lining in the can. They started using it in the 50s, but by the 80s and 90s, we learned that the bisphenol A went into the food as well. And by the 80s and the 90s, we learned that it was a what we call an endodisruptor. It takes on the effects of hormones in the body, like estrogen, and it also can be a carcinogen. So number sevens are not appropriate. So where do we find sevens? Well, hard plastic containers. Probably everybody had a seven a long time ago when they had a bike, because the sevens didn't shatter. Now today, there are number sevens that say bisphenol-free. They're probably even more toxic because we don't know what those products are being made out of. They haven't had long-term studies. So bottom line is no hard plastic container. So what can you use? Well, again, look at the bottom of that plastic container, and you want to look for a 1, a 2, a 4, or a 5. Those are all safe. 1, 2, 4, or 5. Or absolutely use stainless steel. Stainless steel drinking mugs. Don't buy aluminum. Aluminum is lined with bisphenol A, and they don't have to tell you. So buy stainless to drink out of, buy glass to drink out of. There's a lot of new shatterproof glass containers that are around.
But glass tends to be heavy, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, yeah, it is heavy. But you want unsafe or heavy.
Good point. Now, what about cooking? Many people use the microwave, you know, to heat up or to cook, and people use plastic wrap over that. How is that? Is that safe or unsafe?
Unsafe. When you're microwaving, the federal government and the manufacturers say microwaving is safe, but we've never really had any long-term studies that prove it. You want to be careful what you put in it. Remember that microwaving basically sterilizes the water, sterilizes the food. There's really not a whole lot of healthy anything left in the food after it's been nuked. So you want to make sure that you nuke in glass, cover it up with a paper towel. You really don't want to put any plastics in the microwave because it softens them, and then the plastic donates to the food.
So that what we're better off doing is using glass, a paper towel, and trying to nuke as little as possible. Is that what you're saying?
That's sort of what I'm saying. I mean, warm things up, but be careful not to cook with it. And while we're talking about that, moms who are pumping for breast milk, they've got to refrigerate it, and then they bring it home, try to give it to the baby. They've got to warm it up. The easiest way to do it is to put it in the microwave. However, when you microwave breast milk, you lose 96% of the immunity that's in that milk. So you would really rather heat it on the stove.
So people want to. So rather than being quick, you'd rather take a little more time and make sure that baby gets the nutrients that you really wanted to get.
Absolutely, and another issue is the elderly because. Microwaving destroys B12. The elderly over 50 are certainly at risk for having a B12 deficiency, and if they continually nuke their food, then they're just losing more B12 in their food, so that complicates it.
And Dr. Kuhn, how does a B12 deficiency affect the elderly?
Well, that's B12 is necessary for nerve function. And as B12 deficiency decreases, then the elderly often look like they've got cognitive impairment, look like dementia, even Alzheimer's. So it's really important that the elderly always have their B12 level checked as well as their vitamin D level every year when they go for a physical. And then if they need B12 supplements, they should take them.
And how can we improve our B12 intake, supplements being one area? Are there foods or any other things that you can recommend to increase B12 for the elderly?
B12 comes from dairy and meat. In order for us to utilize it in the body, it's got to be absorbed. And we need hydrochloric acid in our stomach to absorb it. And that, again, is one of the issues in our elderly population, is that we just, as we get old, have less hydrochloric acid.
And, And how do we get more hydrochloric acid? What foods?
You can't. There's really no hydrochloric acid foods out there. Using fermented foods might help put a little more acid in your stomach. But fermented foods, you almost have to make them yourself because people who make sauerkraut, for instance, freeze it, pasteurize it, and then all of the bacteria is destroyed.
So are you saying that when we see fermented foods in the supermarket, the actual value has been decreased or eliminated? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, unfortunately. When you're buying a fermented food, it doesn't make any difference what it is. You want to make sure it says on the label, live and active culture. Most of the time, the company will have pasteurized it, then added the live and active culture. If the live and active culture is not there, then it's not going to do much in our gut.
So we really have to be very careful about what we eat and really watch those labels.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
And
let me go back to food storage for just a minute.
Yes.
Remember I said that number threes and sixes were bad?
Yes.
Think about going to the grocery store and chopping out of the refrigerator department for a piece of chicken or a piece of beef. How do they serve it to us? On a styrofoam platter wrapped in shrink wrap.
You're right.
Both of those are carcinogens. So you're really much better off going to the butcher, having him cut you a piece of meat, and wrap it in butcher paper.
That's very difficult, isn't it? Because we have fewer butchers today.
Well, I mean, just about everybody has a deli department, where they can give you a piece of fish or something like that. But the important thing is just to get it out of that styrofoam and plastic wrap as soon as you can. Take it home. Wrap it in wax paper.
Well, that's a very important point, so that if you can't get to a butcher so you can wrap it in wax paper or regular paper, then take it out of the carton as soon as you get home.
Absolutely.
So the more quickly we can get it into a safer wrapping, then put it into the freezer, or then put it into the refrigerator, then we are making sure that we're getting all the nutrients that we're supposed to get.
Absolutely. And you're not getting the carcinogens. That's the important thing.
And not getting the carcinogens. Good point. Well, that's a lot to digest. You should pardon the expression, that's a lot to digest.
Yes, it is.
Now, what about, we hear a lot about yogurt. Are there particular kinds of yogurt that are better than others?
Well, yes. I have some favorite brands. I probably won't mention them on the radio show. But the point is, you want to make sure that there's three things in your yogurt. There are many good varieties of yogurt, but you want to make sure your yogurt contains dairy, Lactobacillus bulgaricus, and Streptococcus thermophilus. You also really want to eat plain yogurt. I don't care if it's zero fat or full fat, plain yogurt, Greek yogurt, but plain. Often companies, when they prepare yogurt for us, people like the flavors. Well, what do they put in? They put artificial sugars in, artificial colors. So you don't want any of that in your gut. If you want blueberry yogurt, hey, buy plain yogurt, buy fresh blueberries, put the blueberries in your own yogurt.
Now, I was talking with somebody the other day who mentioned that even though it's a plain yogurt, there is sugar content in it. Is that accurate?
Doesn't have to be. And that's, again, what you want to check on the label. Plain yogurt tastes great just by itself. It doesn't need sugar. If you're buying a company that puts sugar in plain yogurt, put it back on the shelf. Find one that doesn't.
Well, I think that's an important thing to note. So we have to be careful and see that there is the proper ingredients in the yogurt that we're buying. Now, so what can we all – so there's so many and many things to watch out for. What about arsenic? Is there arsenic in our food?
Yes, there is. All rice has arsenic, whether it's white, brown, or organic. For years, we've used arsenic as a pesticide on rice, and it stays in the ground then for 40, 50 plus years or more. So all rice today has arsenic, even organic, because the organic rules only go back 3 years. You can't control what's been in the ground for the last 50. Also keep in mind that arsenic is used as a filter You don't want to drink cloudy apple juice. And this is what we give to kids. What's their first cereal? Rice cereal. Then as soon as they're old enough, you give them a hard plastic sippy cup that's probably made out of bisphenol A, number 7, and you put arsenic-filtered apple juice in it.
Now you tell me, all these many years later.
Well, I mean, it's terrible. It really is. It really is. I mean, fortunately, people that are over 50 are probably the healthiest because we didn't get all this stuff. You know, but our kids today, oh, we're doing terrible things to them.
So, you know, it looks like we have to be very, very careful. What can we all do to eat better and safer? How do we protect ourselves? There's so much to know. You have to go, you know, you almost have to go with a notebook to the supermarket based on the information that you're giving us today.
Well, it's actually quite simple. Shop the perimeter of your grocery store. Buy whole food. Don't buy food that has a lot of health claims on it. The bottom line, the healthiest food is in your produce department. Buy fish, wild fish, buy eggs if you can afford organic eggs. That would be good. But the bottom line is shop the perimeter of your grocery store and stay out of the middle. That's where all the bad stuff is today. That's where the dyes, the colors, the preservatives. You know, when they put a food in the middle of the store, it's got to have a long shelf life because they don't get to it very often. And in order to make a food have a long shelf life, they've taken all the nutrients out of it. I mean, you know, the rat doesn't want to eat it, the mouse doesn't want to eat it, and we shouldn't be eating it because it has nothing of value.
Now
it's dead food.
Now, you mentioned, you just mentioned on the foods that we could eat, you mentioned fish. Now, what about the difference between farm-raised fish and wild-caught fish?
Is there
a difference?
Oh, boy, is there ever. Farm-raised anything, whether it's a fish or a chicken or a pig or beef, they're all fed genetically engineered corn. So basically, when you're eating any kind of a farmed fish or animal, it's genetically engineered. That's what you're eating. So whenever you can buy wild, go for it. Wild Pacific fish are probably safer today than wild Atlantic fish because there's a lot of PCBs in the Atlantic. A lot of radiation in the Pacific, but we think at this point the radiation might be a little safer than all the PCBs.
If you would like to ask questions directly, Dr. Marilee Kuhn, would you like to give your email where they can reach you?
Sure. It's my first name, Marilee, Merrily, dash, EDSERS, at Verizon.net. And if I can just end with one statement, you've been told for years and years and years, you are what you eat. So don't be fast, cheap, easy, or fake.
Thank you again for listening. Thank you, Neil Heaver, producer. See you all on the radio next Monday evening at 6:30 p.m. when I again invite you to take charge of your life on WDIY.